You are listening to the Wildcat 91.9 Nonviolence Half Hour. So for the next half hour, we're going to be talking about societal issues and realities, pop culture, and how we as individuals can make our community more awesome and violence-free while sharing some pretty rad music, if we do say so. So you're listening to two anti-violence advocates from the CARE office on campus. That's the Center for Advocacy, Response, and Education. We are
Jenna
and Jessica. Or Jenica, if you want a celebrity name us.
Which you should.
Because we believe it's important to position ourselves in society for our listeners who can't see our faces, we want to let you know that we're two middle-class white ladies.
And we're going to be talking to you about nonviolence. So, every nonviolence half-hour show, we will choose a topic and tackle it in our 30 minutes with you guys. So for this show, we have chosen to talk about male sexual assault, or individuals who identify as males, who also experience some sort of unwanted sexual act against them. But before we dive into that, we're going to throw you guys to some music. So this first song in our nonviolence half hour is going to be some Iron and Wine, Waiting for a Superman.
Just too heavy.
Listening to the Wildcat 91.9 Nonviolence Half Hour with Jenna and Jessica from the care office. And that was Iron and Wine, Waiting for a Superman, that you just heard.
So during today's segment, we are talking about male survivors of sexual assault. You may be listening and thinking, hey, why did we choose this topic? In the national media, so much we're hearing about women and their experience of sexual violence, so why are we taking this time out to talk about men today? And I think Jessica and I are both here to share a little bit of our experience and our knowledge working in the field and as advocates. I think we're going to try to shed some light on an important topic and maybe a population that doesn't get the attention it deserves around this.
So as Jenna mentioned, oftentimes when we talk about sexual violence, we don't paint a picture of victims of sexual violence as male or those who identify as men. So we thought it was pretty important to attempt to focus on a population that's often silenced or sometimes not even there around this issue.
I think a lot of times when the national conversation turns to engaging men and bringing them into this conversation, it's only in the terms of what they can do to help women, but it doesn't give them room to think about themselves as survivors or to process the experience that they've had.
We're not a fan of statistics, generally. Is that right?
No, we're not. Statistics can be very disengaging and very impersonal.
I agree. Yeah, it's just hard to... Statistics are hard for everyone to imagine. I think it doesn't, as you said, it doesn't paint the reality of it. They're just numbers oftentimes. But they're important numbers, especially when you think about the statistics that the White House sort of released, which was 1 in 16 men will experience sexual assault while in college. So that number surprised me because it focuses on those in collegiate universities or receiving a higher education. You've also maybe heard of 1in6.org, which is a website that was created by and at least with David Lezak.
And Jessica, who's David Lezak?
So David Lezak is a longtime researcher and activist in this area. He's going to be coming to K-State. I'll put a plug in for that next semester, April 2015, to talk to the K-State campus about sexual assault on campus.
And why, when we're talking about male survivors, does David Lezak's name come up?
For me, it's mostly because of his website, 1in6.org. So that website is for male survivors by male survivors. And it has resources. It has suggestions for those who have family members who are men who have been sexually assaulted. And the 1in6 stands for 1 in 6 men who will experience sexual violence in their lifetime. So that sort of umbrella experience of sexual violence sometime, some point in their life. So that's a pretty stark, I think, statistic, even though we don't like statistics.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about as we're talking right now. So as part of the national conversation, you also hear the 1 in 5 thrown out. So 1 in 5 women will experience sexual violence while in college. And I think that number itself is really hard for the general public to wrap their head around, to hear that number and believe that there are really that many survivors. And I'm wondering what your reaction is, Jessica, to... I mean, the 1 in 6, 1 in 16, I mean, we as a society aren't giving men the space to come out as survivors and to tell their story. And I wonder how the general public can hear that number and believe it as fact, because research has again and again shown that to be the prevalence rate.
You know, I always thought that sexual assault's hard to talk about anyway, right? Mm-hmm. So we appreciate you if you're still listening. But I think it's even harder to talk about when we're suggesting that those who aren't often identified as victims are part of the equation. And we might get into this a little bit later, but I think the experience of sexual assault is obviously going to be different based on your identities. And mm-hmm. So if you identify as a male, you're going to have different barriers to mm-hmm. seeking services and to coming out as a survivor than you are if you're a female, mm-hmm. Or if you're lesbian, or if you identify as part of the Black community. So I think every sort of identity affects how you experience it, how you seek services afterwards, mm-hmm. all different kinds of things. So
part of what I hear you saying in that, Jessica, is that a population that is normally associated with power and privilege, it becomes difficult and different to also associate with the word survivor or someone who has been a victim of this.
So we can take a quick break, give you all a song, and we will come back and talk about some things that are happening currently in the media and some recent cases around male sexual assault. But first, we're going to play a song by Lauryn Hill called I Get Out. This is the Nonviolence Half Hour on the Wildcat 91.9.
I get out. I get out of all your boxes. I get out. You can't hold me in these chains. I'll get out. Father, free me from this bondage. Knowing my condition is the reason I must change. Your stinking resolution is no type of solution. Preventing me from freedom, maintaining your pollution. I won't support your lie no more. I won't even try no more. If I have to die, oh Lord, that's how I choose to live. I won't be compromised no more. I can't be victimized no more. I just don't sympathize no more. 'Cause now I understand. You just wanna use me. You say love then abuse me. You never thought you'd lose me. But how quickly we forget that nothing is for certain. You thought I'd stay here hurting. Your guilt trip's just not working, repressing me to death. 'Cause now I'm choosing life, yo. I'll take the sacrifice, yo. If everything must go, then go. That's how I choose to live. No more compromises. I see past your disguises, blinding through mind control, stealing my eternal soul, appealing through material to keep me as your slave. But I'll get out. Oh, I'll get out of all your boxes. I'll get out. Oh, you can't hold me in these chains. I'll get out. Oh, I want out of social bondage. Knowing my condition, oh, is the reason I must change. See, what you see is what you get. Oh, and you ain't seen nothing yet. Oh, I don't care if you're upset. I could care less if you're upset. See, you don't change the truth. And your hurt feelings, no excuse to keep me in this box. Psychological locks, repressing true expression, cementing this repression, promoting mass deception so that no one can be healed. I don't respect your system. I won't protect your system. When you talk, I don't listen. Oh, let my father's will be done. And just get out. Oh, just get out of all this bondage. Just get out. Oh, you can't hold me in these chains. Just get out. Oh, these traditions killing freedom. Knowing my condition is the reason I must change. I just accepted what you said, keeping me among the dead. The only way to know is to walk, then learn, then grow. But faith is not your speed, or you'd have everyone believe that you're the sole authority. Just follow the majority, afraid to face reality. The system is a joke, or you'd be smart to save your soul. Oh, and escape this mind control. You spend your life in sacrifice to a system for the dead. Oh, are you sure? Where's the passion in this living? Are you sure it's God you're serving? Obligated to a system, getting less than you're deserving. Who made up these schools, I say? Who made up these rules, I say? Animal conditioning, or just to keep us as a slave, or just get out of this social purgatory. Just get out. Oh, these traditions are a lie. Just get out. Superstition killing freedom.
there. This is KSDB 91.9. You are listening to Jenna and Jessica, Nonviolence Half Hour, and you just heard Lauryn Hill, I Get Out. So as Jessica promised before we threw to some music, we're going to talk a little bit about male sexual assault in the news today. I know an exciting topic for everyone out there, but definitely one that needs to be heard and talked about. So Jessica, I think we had a specific recent event we wanted to reference.
Yeah. So this article I found actually that I was pointed to by the one and only Brett Parsons. It's an NPR article. It's called, the article is titled Seven Students Charged with Sex Crimes in New Jersey Hazing Incident. It just pretty much gives a synopsis of an incident at a New Jersey prep school wherein multiple boys, I'm going to call them boys because they're under 18, multiple teenagers were on a football team. Mm-hmm. And they were charged recently with aggravated sexual assault, criminal restraint, in an act of sexual penetration of other teammate members, and a hazing event, or I guess a sort of hazing multiple events that took place. And it all happened in the locker room, and it involved sort of like a noise that someone made to indicate that something was going to happen, then someone would turn off the lights, and then in the hazing process, multiple boys were violated and experienced sexual violence.
These were all members of the football team, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what happened? You mentioned that we have seven students who have been charged.
Mm-hmm.
How is the school dealing with it? How is the community dealing with it?
Yeah, so in the article, the NPR article, it talks about the superintendent deciding to discontinue or postpone the entire remaining football season.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a strong stance.
Yeah. So I guess, what's your initial reaction to that? Because mine was a little bit like, oh no, these boys are going to be held responsible for a football season that didn't get to happen now. These boys that were victimized, and they're going to be further victimized because of it, because football seems to be an integral part of our society in a lot of ways.
Something I was thinking about when I heard about this story, and I think one interesting part of it is that the parents of those who were not charged, so parents of other students on the football team, and I think for a little bit more the community, so is pushing back and saying this isn't fair. Why punish a whole town, a whole school, a whole team for acts of few individuals? And something I was wondering is, how would this story be different, or the reactions be different, if the victim or victims, excuse me, were female? So are we having a different reaction because the victims were male?
Mm-hmm.
Is it seen as a lesser crime? Is it seen as just mainly horseplay that happens in a locker room that we want to normalize? And that's why the other parents, the community, feels comfortable pushing back and saying this is too strong, when we're in the midst of this huge national conversation and talking about we need to have stronger sanctionings and reactions and punishments for those who do perpetrate these crimes. Why in this town are we saying, hey, no, we can't cancel football, even though we're talking about young men who are sexually violated and assaulted?
Yeah, so many parallels to the Penn State
mm-hmm.
Incident, right? Where, you know, the whole town, I'm going to use the term, went crazy and mm-hmm. publicly were very angry and to the point of destruction in some areas around Penn State, around that town, because of all of the sanctions that came down from the NCAA that mm-hmm. Penn State had to abide by, you know, giving back trophies, negating national championships, all those things. And they were so angry because they felt as though, you know, their beloved coach and all of the work that they'd done shouldn't be taken away because one man chose to do some very, very bad things, chose to perpetrate against children in the locker room.
I think when you bring up Penn State and considering the story that we're talking about right now, it also makes me think about, so when things like this happen who do we hold responsible? Is it only the individual who perpetrated the physical act of violence? If we're talking about this football team, did other members of that team know? Did coaches know? Did alumni know? So what was the extent of it? And how do we hold those individuals responsible? And for a larger part, as a community, if we know that young men or women are participating in a systemic culture that glorifies violence or lessens the boundaries of others, how do we react to that? How do we hold them responsible? Do we say, oh, kids will be kids? Mm-hmm. This was horseplay, we're going to normalize it. Or do we recognize that this is part of a larger problem? And mm-hmm. then how do we address that?
You asked the question, I think, in earlier I've heard you say, who is responsible mm-hmm. when these kinds of things happen? And probably that we're all responsible in some part, whether we stood by and did nothing, whether we thought we heard something but didn't say anything, mm-hmm. you know, whether we intervened or not. I think there are all kinds of things that we as individuals and, but more importantly, as a community can do to address a culture, like you said, that normalizes this before something happens. Mm-hmm.
Man, we're getting into deep topic here, so I think it might be a good time to throw to a song.
Yeah.
So, next up, we are going to have Brett Denon, Ain't No Reason. So enjoy this, Manhattan.
You're listening to the Wildcat 91.9.
There ain't no reason things are this way. It's how they always been and they intend to stay. I can't explain why we live this way. We do it every day. Preachers on the podium speaking of saints. Prophets on the sidewalk begging for change. Old ladies laughing from the fire escape, cursing my name. I got a basket full of lemons and they all taste the same. A window in a pigeon with a broken wing. You can spend your whole life working for something just to have it taken away. People walk around pushing back their debts, wearing paychecks like necklaces and bracelets. Talking about nothing, not thinking about death. Every little heartbeat, every little breath. People walk a tightrope on a razor's edge, carrying their hurt and hatred and weapons. It could be a bomb or a bullet or a pen, or a thought or a word or a sentence. There ain't no reason things are this way. It's how they always been and they intend to stay. I don't know why I say the things I say, but I say them anyway. But love will come, set me free. Love will come, set me free. I do believe. Love will come, set me free. I know it will. Love will come, set me free. Yeah. Prison walls still standing tall. Some things never change at all. Keep on building prisons, gonna fill them all. Keep on building bombs, gonna drop them all. Working your fingers bare to the bone. Breaking your back, make you sell your soul. Like a lung, it's filled with cold. Suffocating slow. The wind blows wild and I may move, but politicians lie and I am not fool. You don't need no razor nor a three-piece suit to argue the truth. The air on my skin and the world under my toes. Slavery stitched to the fabric of my clothes. Chaos and commotion wherever I go. Love I try to follow. Love will come set me free. Love will come, set me free. I do believe. Love will come, set me free. I know it will. Love will come, set me free. Yes. There ain't no reason things are this way. It's how they always been and they intend to stay. I can't explain why we live this way. We do it every day.
That was Brett Denon, Ain't No Reason. You're listening to the Wildcat 91.9 Nonviolence Half Hour. We are talking about taking this half hour to discuss male sexual assault. And so we wanted to bring up one more sort of current event or happening around male sexual assault, and that is sexual assault within the military. So Brandon Haddock from K-State's LGBT Resource Center, which is an awesome office you should stop by. They are in Holton Hall, second floor, 207, I think. He sent us an article. It was actually an article published in GQ, magazine GQ. You can find it online. And the title is, "Son, Men Don't Get Raped."
That won't grab your attention.
Not at all. It's actually a quote that a male sexual assault survivor in the military, it's actually a quote that someone responded to him with when he reported his assault. It's a really powerful article, mm-hmm. really, really powerful. And, you know, I think it's worth it to point out that proportionally, there are more men in the military, and therefore, mm-hmm. proportionally, more men are sexually assaulted within the military system when it does occur. And so I know a lot of attention has been given, especially through the documentary Invisible War. There are men within that system who are present in the documentary who talk about their experience. And also I think it's worth it to point out that most male sexual assault is perpetrated by those who do not identify as gay. Mm-hmm. I think that's a common misconception that hopefully is fading slowly, but that oftentimes male sexual assault is perpetrated by those who identify as heterosexual men.
Yeah.
That's sometimes surprising.
So, you know, Jessica, I know in my work that I've served males in different capacities, those who may have experienced sexual abuse as children, who may be in violent relationships, who may have experienced sexual assault. Can you tell me a little bit about your experience? Have you served men?
Yeah. So I definitely have. I've been an advocate in a working capacity,
mm-hmm.
I'll say with a salary, since 2005. And I remember the first male survivor I served. I met him at a Kansas City hospital. The emergency room had called me, and he was a victim of domestic violence,
mm-hmm.
actually, which is so closely related with sexual assault. And his partner was a man, identified as male. And, you know, it was different because I didn't really know which resources were appropriate for him. I didn't know where to and how to connect him to those who would help him heal and get through systems. Obviously, I was willing to work with him to the extent that I would for any other survivor or victim. But yeah, it was a moment where I realized There aren't a lot of places for people who identify as male and are sexual assault victims to go.
Yeah, what do you attribute that to?
Oh, I think it's a systematic issue. I think all the way from there isn't funding that focuses mm-hmm. on these services to the fact that the anti-violence movement in general is just having these conversations. How do we serve men? How do we equally serve men, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. I come more trained from the therapist world, but have worked with survivors. And when you talk about resources, as an advocate, we're talking about funding, safe places. But I also think about the theories that we are taught to work with people and understand the context of their violence. And I think so often we only conceptualize males as being a perpetrator of violence, but not a victim, mm-hmm. and how that doesn't even leave any cognitive space for individuals to consider that A, themselves might be victims if they're male, or how to think about it, how to put words to it, and for mm-hmm. professionals, how to best help them.
Right.
And I think that's something that this movement really needs to take into consideration. I think advocates would definitely tell you this is a problem nationwide and worldwide, and mm-hmm. something that also really needs to be addressed in the context of the larger issues about sexual violence and gender-based violence. So I think, unfortunately, we're about out of time here for our nonviolence half hour. Jessica and I want to let anyone out there know that if anything during this conversation has sparked any emotion in you that you need to process further or talk about experience that you've had, we are available in the care office at K-State. So that's in 206 Holton Hall. Mm-hmm. Monday through Friday, we are confidential advocates. So whatever you talk to us about stays in our office. So if you need to access our services, we are more than happy to see you and to work with you.
Right. And if you as a listener, first, thank you. But if you want to suggest a topic for any of our upcoming shows, just give us a call and let us know at 532-0919. We would love to hear from you. Love to hear what you want to be talked about. Also, you should check out our UFM course, Yes Means Yes, if you want to participate in a 6-week free course that discusses sexuality, pleasure, consent, and bystander intervention. Some big topics there.
Yeah.
So everyone likes talking about sex, right?
Well, thanks for listening to us today and for having us, and we hope to have you guys tune in again soon.
This is the Wildcat 91.9 Nonviolence Half Hour.